You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Morgan, have you been able to engage a wombat in a foot race?
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Recording in progress. I would love to meet that woman. I want her on the podcast, the woman who goes, recording in progress.
I'm not sure how much of it is an actual woman anymore. Of course, you know, they use the
analog. Is it a robot?
The analog would have been from a human's voice, but then they take, you know, who knows, you know, how much they've changed it with their tech and whatnot. Now, Le Batard years ago had the original Siri on the show.
Oh, cool.
Back in 2017, I think, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, Siri showed up for a little bit, but I'm not sure about the Zoom lady and how much they're using.
Recording in progress.
Right. It sounds like they've processed it a decent amount. So
does that mean artificial intelligence can say that, right?
Yes. Yeah. And that's actually one of the things. Welcome, everybody, to the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Oh, yeah.
Right out of the gate, we're going robot takeover. That's one of the debates with the writer's strike and the actors, the SAG after strike that's going on right now, is the debate over what you can use someone's name, image, and likeness for. Because in theory, and actually a few actors have already done this or have talked about this, they've used either someone's images or their voice, and they run it through their tech, you know, and use artificial intelligence to be able to take that voice and make them say anything. And the studios feel, or at least some of the studios feel, that they can do this without having to pay the artist anything extra.
Of course they do.
And ultimately, it's going to turn into something where the studios are probably going to try to play it, are having contracts that say, just sell us your, you know, name, image, and likeness for perpetuity. And of course, it'll be an exorbitant price.
Right.
But then that's something they can use in perpetuity. I think I've probably said perpetuity too many times. But
yeah, you really did.
But yeah.
Highfalutin word. $5 word.
But that's a big point of debate and argument. And there are several actors and that don't want that to be the case. And I can understand that. Look, as someone who would love to be doing some voice work, I don't like the idea of having to compete against computers, you know?
Yeah, don't you think it's weird, though, when there's, I still call them cartoons, when there's an animated film and the voice actor, and it could be a big name actor, let's say it's Dustin Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all of a sudden, Dustin Hoffman's name is on this film, you know, so and so, such and such, starring, featuring Dustin Hoffman, and so and so. You never see Dustin Hoffman. He's not playing a role, what I would consider playing a role. You just hear his voicing a cartoon. I don't, like, why? I don't consider that Dustin Hoffman in a film.
Ah, gotcha. So, well, it's acting. Like, you are, it is a true performance. When you go behind that microphone, I mean, it's a lot of work because you're trying to make it, you've got to get the feel that they want for the animation.
Sure.
I'm not sure, because I haven't done this yet, is that, like, you probably have to sync it up. I'm sure there's at least somewhere you have to sync up. Heck, even in live action movies, man, they will go back and re-record the audio for several scenes. There's a good video of Hugh Jackman when they were filming Logan. You see him with microphones all around him, and on the screen is the film, and it's a scene of him running as Wolverine, and Hugh Jackman's like running with him, like in place, and doing the you know, like trying to match what, you know, he would have been doing in when they were actually filming on location, just to make sure they get the right quality sound. That happens all the time. I can't remember.
No, I get it. But for me, if I'm not seeing the actor on the screen, he's not in the movie. I'm sorry.
Really?
No insult to voice actors meant, but that's just the way I feel.
It's the weirdest.
It is. It's, you know, Dustin Hoffman is not in a movie if I don't see him on the screen. I'm sorry.
I can't believe that, Greg. That is.
Yeah. It could be a Dustin Hoffman impersonator. making that voice. I don't know.
But it's true, but that, I mean, that's one of the debates. I mean, even Levitard Show has joked around that we have enough audio of Stu Gatz that, and Stu would love this, but we have enough audio of Stu Gatz. We could put together entire conversations, especially because so much of what he says is, you know, it's just, he's not listening anyway.
Right.
And, you know, so they could just have a soundboard of Stu Gatz and just play it in. There, people have taken clips from the more famous ones are of Hank Hill from King of the Hill.
Right.
Of him calling in calling a Lowe's Hardware and asking for a tap and die and some WD-40. I'm looking for a tap and die and some WD-40. And him getting really mad at them, you know, you giblet head. And so you can do that. Like, that technology is there and they've used it and people haven't gotten paid. And that's one of the things behind the strike. We need to build in protections for the people who don't want that to happen.
Right.
They want to be able to protect their ability for future earnings and work to continue their craft.
Levitard and I have had this argument off air. You know, he always makes fun of me for, you know, not doing Back in My Days every week. And I always tell him, how about you replay a really good Back in My Day from 5 years ago that nobody remembers, that they would enjoy all over again? Why is that a crime? Why isn't that done? Like my favorite Back in My Day of all time is one I call Drawbridges. I don't even remember it. I would love to hear that again, but they just don't do that. So,
well,
I don't know.
From Dan's point, I mean, that's lazy, Greg.
Yeah, it is. But look, it's also, you know, artists put out greatest hits albums. That's lazy, too.
Yes, it is. But
it is something that the consumer likes.
It's to fulfill a lot of times to fulfill a contractual requirement with the record label.
And fill a wallet, because those sell very well.
Yeah.
They're consumed voraciously, as would a greatest hits of Back in My Day, if he were to do that.
Creedence Clearwater Revival, that their greatest hits album is one of, that's the first album I played through on guitar to try to learn the chords to every song. Because Bad Moon Rising was the first song I ever learned.
Right.
And so I just took that whole greatest hits album and just tried to play and listen to it played it by ear and just learned the chords to every song.
Okay.
And
we've started on a tangent, a multiple faceted tangent. So I want to say, welcome to the Greg Cody Show podcast. Happy to have you all back. Great episode we have on the minister of fantasy football, Field Yates of ESPN. And I'm excited about that. Christopher had a great conversation with him, fun, informative, and all of that. And we have Morgan from Australia joining us, and she's on cloud nine. She's joining us from cloud nine, way up there on cloud nine, because Australia is in the women's final four, which is huge. A first time ever for Australia. And we're going to talk to her about that. And we might or might not be hearing from Greg Cody Show's special correspondent, Chris Cody, live from Nashville.
Pre-recorded from Nashville.
Pre-recorded from Nashville. You're right. It will not be live. That's why we said might or might not get him. We have no idea.
It's all live at some point.
Exactly. It will be live when he pre-records it. But first, I want to say something about technology and film, cameras, and all that. You know, nowadays, you pick up your iPhone, you take a photo. That's your camera. It's your phone. You don't get these anymore. I'm going to hold up a picture that I found the other day of Christopher when he's like 8 years old on his little bike going to school with Michael in the background. Okay, that's an actual photo. It was actually developed.
Michael looks kind of mad.
What?
Michael looks like he's mad at Chris.
He is. He's jealous. Look at him. He's got his chin down. He's like, my big brother is riding away on a bike and I'm just here in red pajamas. But I'm in my garage the other day. I open a box in my garage the other day because I'm always rattling around my garage and I find a treasure trove of old undeveloped film.
Oh yeah.
Like I never know where the camera is, like this kind of film, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of it is still in canisters. And this terrifies me because I don't know what's in here. Or after all these years, would it even come out? You know, there's no, is there even a drugstore you go to now with a canister of 30-year-old film where they will develop it?
I think you can still take it, maybe even to Walmart.
Really?
Yeah, no, but there are places. I don't know where they are, but you should, yeah, you should check that. Greg, imagine the treasure trove that's in there. It's like a time capsule.
It is.
I want you to find a place this week. And then next week's show, we can unveil the time capsule and show what pictures are on there, if there's anything good.
Yeah, I am going to do that because it's sort of like going up into grandma's attic.
Yeah.
And finding, you know, some old air, dusty heirloom, and you don't know what's in it until you open it. And this is the way I feel about a little film canister. I don't think this one is super old because it's plastic. It's right. Not metal.
But so I mean, at least 15 years?
Oh, at least. I would say it's in great shape. Yeah, I'm gonna do that this week, and we will report next week the findings of some of these film canisters. A quick callback to last week's episode. A couple of things. First, when we were talking about Dan and I and Lebo going to Mardi Gras for the first time, I meant to mention that that very first time, the three of us were staying in a hotel room with either 8 or 9 guys, because that was a long time ago, and none of us had much money. You know, nowadays Dan would either buy the hotel or rent out the entire room, or
buy the entire hotel.
Yeah, the entire hall. Or
Mike, buy me a hotel.
Exactly. But then we all slept in the same room, and the terrifying thought occurred to me that I slept in the same bed. We all drew straws on who's going to sleep where, and I slept in the same bed with a writer named Jeff Miller,
baby,
who's now with the Los Angeles Times. So that's just a little trivia item. The other thing I wanted to mention as a callback to last week, and this is more serious. When I think back on that whole Zach Thomas so-called beef and how I handle that, I do so with regret. And I want to mention to everyone, to the audience, that I wish I'd gone to Canton. I do. That's a regret I have. And I don't regret being honest with you all, even though I was talking off air to Dominique Foxworth, to drop a name, and he mentioned that he didn't think I was wrong to feel the way I did, but he was surprised that I admitted it, that I put it out there publicly, because it did make me look bad, and I recognize that.
Well, great, that's cool, great. Yeah, no, because it was a little much. I'm not going to like shame you for it or anything. But, you know, like I would have chosen to, I still would have gone if I had the invite.
Yeah, it was petty of me. It was petty of me to just change all my plans because he wouldn't do my podcast. And I realize that now. But here's the thing. On my very first podcast from my closet in the spring of 2020, I said to my audience, I want to be honest with you all. I want to bring you into my life. I want to be honest in every facet of my life, and I want to speak to you as if we're friends speaking off the air and just having a conversation. And so that was in the spirit of that. I admitted that I was hurt by him not doing my podcast, and the way I reacted was an overreaction.
That's cool, Greg. It's always good to reflect on things and be honest if you feel a correction or an adjustment is needed. So, yeah, very cool.
And on that note, we teased this earlier with good reason, because this is a great conversation with an expert in fantasy football. Just as you're figuring out who the hell to draft and who not to draft, it's Field Yates from ESPN, that kind of thing.
Fulfilling your fantasies with Field.
That's right.
Yates.
Look who it is.
What up, dude?
What's up, man? How are you?
Listen, buddy, my dad just pulled a Stugatz and can't make it now. I hope that's okay, that it's just going to be me.
Well, you know, if I had to choose one of you to have, it would be you, so don't worry about it.
Dude, honestly, and my dad would have been useless in this, because we've started. We're already on. This is all for air. My dad just texted me. He's like, I can't make it. Please, are you going to be good? I'm like, Dad, are you kidding me? This is like my favorite thing in the world. I'm fine. And he's like, ask him about his name. How does he have the name Field? I think your middle name is Minister. My dad, of course, looks you up. Like, we're doing fantasy, so I'm like, Dad, make sure you come prepared. Yeah. And his big preparation is his middle name's Minister, and his name's kind of odd. Ask him about that. So go ahead. There's the Field, great Cody question.
Field is where I was conceived, so that's where Field comes from. No, only kidding. Minister is my mom's maiden name. That's the easy part of this equation. So I wish there was. I'm a spiritual, but not like super religious person. Right. I'm not like a regular church goer. The whole, like, do I have to say the cliche of like football is my church on Sundays?
Minister of fantasy, maybe.
Hey, that works. The minister, that could be good actually right there. And then, you know, my mom definitely was hardcore on trying to find fairly unique names for my siblings and I. My brother is Taylor, which is fairly conventional. My sister is Caddy, like a golf caddy. So we did end up with, less traditional names, certainly compared to most of the kids we grew up with. I feel like now I'm 36. I feel like today the thing to do is name your kid something super unique. As a father of two now, I kind of feel like that was part of our mission. when we were choosing our children's names. But yeah, Field, it's kind of an old family name. It had never been a first name. My mom felt like rolling the dice and seeing if it would work out.
How do we feel about traveling with kids? Kind of stinks, huh?
I think it stinks. Like the idea. So our second child is only 6 weeks old. We have not been on a plane with her yet. But I'm excited for football season for many, many reasons. Not the least of which is that it kind of keeps me tied or tethered to Connecticut. Maybe like the occasional driving trip. But I don't know. The idea of multiple children on a plane. Oh. We've had our 18-month-old. I think she's flown three round trips total. And she's been fine. Like we haven't had one of those, like we haven't gone viral for the wrong reasons. But man,
it's just different. It's vacations anxiety. Are just different. It's like you get back from a vacation with kids and they're like, oh, did you have a good time? And you say yes. You say yes when they ask you if you had a good time. But in your mind, you're like, it was all right.
Yeah, it was fine. It was tolerable. Not only that, I would say the other part of this is weekends are weekdays when you become parents. Weekdays are weekends. Like Monday morning used to be like the Sunday scaries do not exist. I get up on Monday morning and my older daughter's in daycare. Like when I love that girl more than anything. You know, you have that special bond. Like my youngest daughter is only 6 weeks old. So it's like our bond is very much like she just sort of depends on me, right? It's not like we talk, right? Like she has no way of communicating other than crying. My older daughter, we're like, you know, we're buddies. It's like she's my delight. Best. But on Monday when she goes back to school, and I know she loves it too, so I'm okay saying this. Right? Yeah. It's like for the next 5 days, we have whatever it is, 40 hours of coverage. That is lovely.
You're so right, man. It's so funny. Is fantasy even fun for you anymore?
It is. Yeah, no, it really, here's what I would say. I know I cut you off before you even answer that question or ask that question in full. Is, and I may sound like the worst fantasy analyst ever as a result of this, but I truly believe that at the end of the day, my job is not to win every league that I'm in and know 5 million things that the consumer doesn't know. My job is for the people that, I always use my brother as an example, but anybody you know who is a football fan but not a junkie, right, who doesn't want to take the time to figure out whether Jalen Waddle is off the injury report or whether he's actually questionable to play on Sunday. And oh, by the way, there's supposed to be 3 hours of rain in Miami during the game. Right. And by the way, they're playing against whatever, the Jets defense, who maybe has the best secondary in football. And by the way, you know, it's Mike White starting. Does that mean that I shouldn't start him? Like, he just wants me to come to him on Sunday morning and just say like, yes or no, basically. I tell people, it's like, I want to present you with a tiny little package. It's a gift. That gift is a ranking that represents something. But I don't have any expectation of like winning every league that I am in.
Right.
I just want to have a lot of fun. I want Sundays to be dramatic. I want them to be hopefully like, you know, exciting in a positive way. But I am also embracing the letdowns. Like, I am going to kick myself for making wrong lineup decisions. And no matter how long you've been doing this and no matter how confident you feel in your picks, you're going to have significant whiffs that I think are part of the experience.
I feel like I heard you say last year or in recent years that you do in the ballpark of like over 20 drafts. Like, how many leagues would you say you're in?
I would think this year, it always changes by a little bit each year.
You always say you're cutting back, right? I do this with my wife. Yes, she's like, how many leagues you're in? You're like, I'm cutting back.
Yeah. And, but what happened was I cut back a couple of years ago because I was finding like my balance was a little bit off in my life. I think I was just, oh, you know, it was when my wife was pregnant with her first child. And I was like, I got to be a little more present. And like, you never know what could happen. And then a year later, I was like, I need more market research. So I think I went from like 12 to 6 to 10.
Okay.
And this year, it'll probably be around a dozen. There are a few that are keeper leagues, dynasty leagues that I've been in forever that will never go away. And then like over the past couple of years, I've had 10 team leagues, redraft leagues that have come together out of nowhere, or like a new friend group. Like I moved in the past couple of years. My buddies down here want to play in a league this year. Are we going to do it or are we not going to do it? And then you have like groups that for whatever reason grow apart. And while fantasy can keep you together, it's also, it takes some effort, right? Like finding a date to do the draft and then making sure that you have, if it's a 10 team league, 10 invested managers, like that to me is essential. And that's like the one requirement for a fantasy league. It's just like, I don't want to have like two absentee managers who are starting players on buys that I get it. Like someone has to win and lose every matchup. It just takes away a little bit of the mojo of the league.
My brother is that guy. He's in almost all my leagues and he's the one every Sunday I got to send him a text. I'm like, dude, it's a bad look. You're a Cody. Let's go.
Like, come on now, like get your act together a little bit. It doesn't. And that's what I tell people about fantasy football. The secret sauce of it is that it's not that much much effort. It takes some, right, but not that much, right? You can probably check like waivers sometime between Monday, Tuesday, maybe Thursday morning you get up just to ensure that your Thursday night players are accounted for. And then it's like check in Saturday night or Sunday morning and you're there. You're the good.
Best. No, the best is around 11 or noon. You throw on Fantasy Now and you're on the couch and you're just, that's the best. I love a good noon, making sure all the lineups are good. Do you have, of these dozens of leagues that you're in, do you have any that you just are, you've just had bad luck in and you get mocked because you're Field Yates, yet you've never made the playoffs in like 6 years or something?
Funny, the league that I'm in with my best buddies from college, I think is like year maybe 10 or 11 now. And
they're like, big Field Yates, can't win it.
And it's me and my five buddies from college, and then six buddies from a rival college. Ooh. And two of the guys are brothers. So I went to Wesleyan, and then the other guys from Williams. And there is just so much smack talk. But in that league, it weirdly is like, I would love to win it. It bothers me to no end that I haven't won it yet. It's a keeper league. It's this keeper salary league with this kind of goofy format. Ooh. But what bothers me more than that is if you ever lose the league, because if the loser of what we do is the loser of the league has to write a check to the opposing college, like to their annual fund. So you're donating. And so it just, it actually has become one of those where like the loser carries more shame than the winner carries pride, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Can you back me up on my number one rule in all of fantasy? It's something I fight for more because I'm not a big, like when it comes to voting on rules, I don't really have strong opinions either way on most things. But one thing I despise in fantasy is divisions. If I have 12 teams, it's like we're not traveling. The reason divisions exist in real sports is because it's like these teams are all in this area. And it's just, it's one of those things that I fight for. I just am like, why are we doing divisions? It's my least favorite thing. Is there anything in fantasy that, do you agree with me? And what annoys you in these type of discussions in fantasy leagues?
No reason for divisions, unless there is something that I have missed in my, whatever, 15 years of playing and 10 years of doing it professionally. I have no justifiable reason behind divisions in fantasy. They are nothing more than window dressing. I suppose it's one way to split the league up. If you, like we do have the, I mentioned that the two colleges, like I guess there's like a tiny bit of practical application. That makes absolutely no sense to me.
That would actually make sense in your spot. If all of the one college were in one division, all those, like that would at least be like, all right, these guys have a reason for it. Then that would at least make a little sense. Yeah,
even though it's very unlikely that you'd have six teams out of 12 all come from the same division, it just guarantees that you have at least one from either school represented in the playoff field every single year. But there are a couple of things that like I'm not crazy about in fantasy, you know. I like kickers and defenses.
Me too.
Because
it's part of the game.
Part of what makes this so fun is the randomness of it. And I like the idea that like my team could stink this week. Like I could have whatever. I could have Justin Herbert go for 8 points and Austin Eckler, his teammate, could go for just 12. And next thing, but I did have, Ryan Succop had 7 field goals and I won because of Ryan Succop. Yes, and like, you know what? Like I had no, like I had no forecast for Ryan Succop one way or the other. I just know that he's a good, when he was still playing, he was a good kicker, right? That was like my criteria for utilizing him. So I think the randomness is fun.
Yeah. If Ramondre Stevenson can lose me a game in the playoffs last year, why can't some random kicker win me one?
So well put. Like that is part of what I love. I love on Sundays when it's like 104 and it's like, first touchdown of the day is scored by Alec Engel, the guy that literally nobody talked about for the past 7 days. So other things that might be pet peeves in fantasy, this makes me the outlier here. I do a lot of drafts and mock drafts with people that are in this business. And maybe it's because of like two kids now and like a busy, typically a busy month of August. Like when I'm in a mock draft, it's extremely rare for me to take the full 90 seconds on the clock to make a pick. It's like, hey, the person with the third pick uses 85 of 90 seconds.
The worst.
And I'm like, okay, all you got to do is you got to say, all right, who are the three players I love the most this year? All right, Justin Jefferson, Austin Eckler, and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
And if either of any of those three are available, I take one. If two out of three are available, I'm here to tell you, like, you can figure out which of those three you like the most, which you like the least. In the real NFL draft, we always talk about this. The first pick, why are the Panthers using 9 minutes when they've known for a month it's going to be Bryce Young? Yeah. That's for entertainment, right? Like, that is the NFL, I'm sure, advises them. Do not make the pick right away. We have the broadcast window until midnight. build some drama. Let's have some fun. I've always felt like in mock drafts, like for especially mock drafts, like have a little conviction, right? The draft is just the starting point.
Yeah.
So that would be one of my pet peeves is when, you know, if it's the late rounds and you got distracted and you realize with 30 seconds you're on the clock and you have to choose between like, you know, Zay Flowers and like Jacoby Myers, you can take some time and marinate over thought, like those kind of conversations or decisions. But at the beginning of the draft, especially when it's like
the worst,
I took all this time and I landed on, oh, Derrick Henry, right? Like, what, like, you know, haven't you thought about this a bit more? Maybe I'm being mean.
Dude, that is so funny. All right. I'm a first time auction guy.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Just give me, I don't want to spend too much time on something personal for me. I have a bunch of random fireball questions I want to get to. Fireball. Okay. I don't know what I'm talking about. Rapid fire. I don't know why I said fireball.
Fireball.
You get it.
Yeah. Great drink.
Just give me 30. It's okay. A little overrated, actually. Give me 30 seconds on auction. Just give me like advice. First time auction guy. I know I'm doing more tiers than rankings. Like you got to tier your guys. That's what I've heard. I'm listening to pods. Yeah. But yeah, what would you give me? Hit me.
Three quick pieces. First of all, like, have a general idea of what you think the star players are, right? And everything's, you know, if you're playing with a $300 budget, all right, do I think that Justin Jefferson is worth 18% of it? Whatever 18% of 300 is, have that number, right? That's number one, is have a general idea. You got to be flexible, but have a general idea. Number two is like, typically, whether you want to call it the stars and scrubs strategy, where it's like, you pay big for like five or six guys, and then you prepare to just take like flyers on guys for a teeny tiny amount. If you are playing in a keeper league that has an auction side of it, always go and find a player who is injured that you think is going to be good in subsequent years. Because what happens is it's a keeper league, so you can keep that player.
Yes.
Most sites will rank the players based off projected scoring points. I play in this, I mentioned that league that I have, I've been in for too long and I haven't won yet. Maybe I will win it this year on the strength of Calvin Ridley. Because last year during the draft, he was showing up as a zero projection. I waited it out until I was the last freaking person in that draft room. And I was like, I need to have $1 left because I know nobody else is going to draft Calvin Ridley because no one else is going to think of it. So always, if you're playing in a keeper league with the salary cap or an auction format, just make sure that you keep an eye on players who are going to be available either early in the season or at all, because it's a great way to secure some value in subsequent years.
I've heard one of the strategies is also don't even show up for like the first half hour of the draft.
I have a draft.
You're just going to overspend.
Yeah, I have a draft, an auction draft at 7 one night, and another draft that starts at 7:15. Two of the very few drafts that are already on the books. And when I was in a league where all the guys, like 8 of the 10 guys, live in the same area, so they're going to be together, and it's kind of like whatever they want to do works. And the commissioner, I'm not one of those 8, was like, "Hey, we're doing this on this night at 7:30." No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I was like, all right, fine, whatever. Like, I'll do them at the same time because, to your point, the first few rounds of that, you know, that live snake draft, I need to be more focused in on than like the first portion of the auction draft, because no matter what people tell you, there's going to be a couple of people in your draft that just want to go crazy and spend their entire budget within the first 5 minutes.
That's why, like, and these mocks in the mock drafts, everyone goes for $1 over what it says. So all my friends are telling me this is not how it works in the real draft. Guys are going to go way over, you know what I mean? Because in these mock drafts, when I'm mocking with a bunch of computers, I can always get almost any guy I want for $1 more than what he's going for. So totally. I don't feel like I'm getting a good gauge of what it's really going to be like in the draft, but I don't know. I definitely think I'm going to first year strategy. I'm not going to go crazy on like the top guys. I'm going to try to find the value. That's what I'm going to go with. Give me the celebrity, biggest name celebrity who regularly texts you privately for fantasy advice.
Ooh, regularly.
Probably,
you know what, in the past, like, so had a really cool league we played in a few years ago that was like, I mean, it was like incredible. It was Zac Efron, Elizabeth Banks. We had Darius Rucker. We had Evan Longoria. We had Kevin Durant. We had like some serious heavy hitters. Like, Miles Teller was in it. I've a little bit like with Miles Teller gone back and forth a tiny bit. I don't want to make this seem like, you know, Miles and I are like, you know, two peas in a pod. You know, I'm sure he has probably like zero memory of my existence entirely. That was a fun league to play in. That might have been like year two or three of our celebrity league. And the first year we played in that celebrity league, I made the finals against KD. And I think it was So obviously the finals are like, you know, call around Christmas. So it must have been like ESPN had a game that Durant, he was either with the Thunder or the Warriors at this point, was going to play in. So they had like some a sit down with him, and he like taped something. And they were like, they didn't tell me that he taped something. Well, he taped this video trash talking me before the matchup, and it aired on SportsCenter. And it was like extremely like, you know, serious, like kind of scary Kevin Durant, who I love Kevin Durant mostly because of his Twitter activity. I just think it's absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, he's great.
He's just great. I mean, I some people think it's ridiculous. Just think no, it's
I love
funny.
It.
I just think it's awesome. So yeah. As if that wasn't enough reason to like him, the fact that he trash talked me, and then he did beat me. He beat me in the finals as well. I would have loved to have taken him down. But that was a cool moment where I was like, I could lose by 100 points on Sunday, but like forever, I'll be able to send my buddies like, hey, Kevin Durant trash talked me one time about fantasy football. How dumb is this world that we live in?
That is cool.
It is cool. That was fun.
All right, let's get you out of here with some facts for the people. Just some rapid fire or fireball, whatever we want to do here.
Fireball shots. Yes, fireball.
Yeah. Just give me generally guys you're avoiding this season. Just give me three, maybe all three right. guys.
Yeah, so I'm going to default always to injury players. So J.K. Dobbins is one for the Ravens. Not practicing right now on the PUP list. On top of that, obviously, there's the contract question mark. It's very, very weird, to be honest. The vibes are very off right now for him in Baltimore. So he's one that I am generally fading this year. I've talked about Mike Williams a lot. Talked about that actually on our show. And just, you know what you're signing up for. Like in fantasy football, like you sort of like the predictability. And very few guys offer it. Like not everybody can be Nick Chubb, where you just kind of know every season you're going to roll him out and get, you know, top eight running back play. Mike Williams, I make sure I get the stat correct because we talked about it on the show earlier today. I want to say over the past five seasons, see if I can get this right. I want to say it's something like 21 games in the top 20, which is not bad, right? That's an average of four top 20 weeks per season, 39 games outside the top 40 of wide receivers. So it's like you're getting that yo-yo player. He might be great or he might, you know, crash and burn, and that's a problem. And then one more would be, you know, I got to be honest with you. Jonathan Taylor and Josh Jacobs are both making me pretty nervous right now. Jonathan Taylor especially, because with Josh Jacobs, like there's not that many cards he can play. Like it's not like the possibility of him signing a multi-year extension is on the table anymore. With Jonathan Taylor, like anything could happen. He could be traded. Yeah. He could be back tomorrow. But that one for like, it's gotten so publicly nasty. But the idea of Jonathan Taylor missing games to begin the season, not off the table. With the Raiders, even though like they did not give Josh Jacobs what he wanted in a multi-year deal, they've maintained publicly at least some professionalism about the relationship. That's not the case in Indianapolis, and when that happens, you know this could be like a knockdown, drag-out fight for a while.
Now let's play a little game I like to call "How High Is Too High." Bijan Robinson, how high is too high to draft Bijan Robinson?
I think he's going to go in the top three in most every draft, and I don't
top
think
three?
It's crazy. Yeah, truly.
I thought he's like ADP around 8 or 9 I've been seeing.
But I bet you as we get closer to the season, I call this shiny object syndrome in fantasy football, right? People want the cool new thing, and he is as cool as there is amongst the new things in fantasy. And yes, the Falcons have not maximized their top talent in recent years. It is extremely easy to get the football to a running back. You just turn around and hand the ball off to the left or the right. If you take a running back 8th overall and don't use him about as much as any running back in the NFL, then like we need to have a serious conversation with your coaching staff. It's organizational negligence. So I'm hoping that common sense prevails in Atlanta and he justifies the top 3 or 5 pick because he'll go that high.
I thought Kyle Pitts was going to be can't miss with the Falcons and he's been just meh. So anyway, Wilson.
I've made way too many. Like Falcons have driven me nuts over the past year, right? Way too much. But I'm hoping that, like, at least in the case of Kyle Pitts, like, the quarterback has to be okay for him to be good.
Right.
With the running back, I think I could be the quarterback and Bijan would still have a great season.
Put that on the poll. Garrett Wilson, how high is too high?
I think he'll end up being one of the top 10 wide receivers drafted. I think anything in the top 20 picks is about where he's going to wind up. And I think that's about fair. Like, I think 15 is probably, like, about the maximum threshold that I would go. You just like there's so many good receivers because if Garrett Wilson's going higher than like wide receiver 8, it means he's displacing someone from this pool. Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, Jamar Chase, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb, like Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Like which of those players are you saying, okay, I love Garrett Wilson, I also don't think this guy's going to perform. All of those eight wide receivers feel extremely safe to me this year, like extremely high floor and obviously massive ceiling.
Did you say Cooper Kupp in there?
I did. If I didn't, I meant to include him. Yeah.
How high is Cooper? I'm only saying that because my next one is how, with the injury questions, how high is too high for Cooper Kupp?
All right. So I thought there was a time this offseason where you could justify him as the number one overall pick. I might back down from that a tiny bit, and here's the reason why. The Rams might be a house of cards. What happens if in week eight, the Rams are 2-5, Cooper Kupp gets a little bit of an ankle sprain, right? And you're like, he's Cooper Kupp. This team needs to avoid the middle. They don't want to be, you know, they don't want to finish the season 7-10. They would be better served to be in the Caleb Williams / Drake May sweepstakes. If that happens, then why would you play Cooper Kupp? So I think there's a bit of a house of cards nature to this roster. I just think, though, he's so freaking good. And for as great as he was two seasons ago, when he was the best player in fantasy, up until that game he got hurt last year, he was averaging more fantasy points per game. And it's not like the Rams were good last season. People say, well, how can he be good in the Rams if they stink? Hey, I just need him on the field, and preferably Matthew Stafford as well, because he is such a target vacuum. And even in a year in which every team was like, we're going to stop Cooper Kupp, we're going to find a way, no one could do it. It's much trickier without getting too, like, you know, X's and O's on you, Dan Orlovsky style here. It's harder to lock down a slot receiver than it is a perimeter receiver, because there's just so much more traffic in the middle of the field that defensive players have to navigate, that when you're on one, when you're Jalen Ramsey on the outside and all you got to do is cover that one guy on the outside, it's a little bit easier to put together game plan wise than a middle of the field receiver like Cooper Kupp.
Three guys you'd be happy with in the 10th round or later.
I have to go make sure they're still going in the 10th round, but I'm pretty sure they are right now. Jordan Addison, big time all in on the Vikings first round pick. Zay Flowers, Ravens wide receiver, first round pick as well, who apparently has been one of the stars, if not the star of training camp. And then one more wide receiver, Elijah Moore from the Browns, who was a good player for the Jets, fell out of favor for whatever reason. And then the Jets, for obvious reasons, this past offseason, did some things that were more catered to like all in winning, right? They needed some extra draft capital to acquire Aaron Rodgers. They got that in the Elijah Moore trade, and they wanted to sign Randall Cobb to make Aaron Rodgers happy. So Elijah Moore became, I don't know about superfluous, but in their mind this year probably would have been a bit redundant.
If Bijan Robinson is not the number one rookie, who is?
I will go Jordan Addison. I think the answer should be Jahmyr Gibbs, okay. But I'm in on Addison. I am in. I am planting my flag there on a guy who, unfortunately, the only headline he's made so far in his NFL career is driving like 140 miles per hour.
Yeah.
That's poor decision making, but the role is so good in a high volume passing offense with a good but not spectacular quarterback. Like, I think you could see 100 targets this season. It would not surprise me at all.
Last game on the way out. First overall pick, cereal. Go.
I will go with Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And the only other one that I consider was Lucky Charms.
Sports movies.
Number one overall would be, remember the Titans. Basketball, if we include that, would also be a strong contender.
Baseball's great. So fantasy drafter, you can't say yourself. If you needed somebody, like who in this world, it can be someone at ESPN, it can be someone else, just like who does Field Yates look to for fantasy advice when he's not? Do you check your own advice? That'd be weird.
I try to have like fairly unvarnished thoughts when it comes to fantasy. Like I want to make sure that what I'm thinking is not influenced totally by others. But Mike Clay at ESPN is an absolute machine. And he's got a different approach than I do. Like, he is so analytical. It's like everything is sort of the byproduct of several numbers that crunch and gives you like this output. I do obviously incorporate numbers, but some of it is just like, what do I see? Like, is the guy super talented? Is the offense strong? Is this a role that should be conducive to fantasy? Do I like his quarterback? Things like that that are a little bit more, I don't know, filmy, but maybe circumstancy than they are analytical.
Tell the people where they can find you this season, all your fantasy stuff.
So I think the best way to do it in this age that we live in, youtube.com/ESPN NFL is where a lot of the new football content is going. Fantasy Focus is the podcast that I do every day, Monday through Friday, and we're always live streamed on YouTube. So I don't know like what a lot of subscribers is on YouTube, but we're trying to get up to 200K from, I think, 188K right now. So if you want to be 188001, here's your chance to do so.
Excellent. Field Yates, Field Minister Yates, Minister of Fantasy Football. Thank you, man. It's fun catching up.
Right back to you. Always appreciate it. Let's do it again soon, please.
With Greg next time.
Yeah.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, thank you, Field Yates. I can tell you the entire coaching staff and executive board of Greg's Lobos were listening raptly, taking notes, furiously taking notes, because our draft is coming up as well. So thanks, Field. Really appreciate it.
If you need good fantasy advice for your football team, follow Field Yates. If you want to fulfill other fantasies in your life, there's no better way to do that than a quality set of sheets from Sheets and Giggles. They are awesome. We've had them for a little over a year on my bed now, and I love them. I went on a trip to Birmingham recently, and the hotel I slept in, the bed was comfortable, but the sheets were just rough and warm, and it wasn't awesome. It was the opposite of awesome. But Sheets and Giggles sheets, I loved coming home and being able to wrap myself in the eucalyptus lyocell that is cooling. It's soft. It's so soft, and it's just a pleasurable sleeping experience. So go to sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Use promo code Morgan for 23% off. I hit on this last week. Morgan gets you more a higher percentage off than Greg does. What does that say? I don't know. But we're thankful for their sponsorship of us, and they're helping fulfill some of Morgan's fantasies by allowing her to go support her country on their home field at the World Cup this year. So sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code Morgan, 23% off. Make your fantasies come true with a great set of sheets from Sheets and Giggles. And speaking of our World Cup correspondent from Australia, I see a very excited Morgan on the Zoom.
She's calling us from Cloud 9, celebrating the Aussies being in the Women's World Cup Final Four for the first time.
Yeah, I don't have much of a voice left.
No, it's gone. Wow.
I am absolutely beside myself. I cannot believe what happened tonight. It was incredible. This is the greatest result we've ever had at a World Cup, women's, men's, anything. And to have been there, to have witnessed the longest penalty shootout in history of the World Cup was incredible.
Wow.
And it happened right in front of me.
You were right there. Like, that was, you were in front of that goal. That was amazing. Incredible view.
Yeah, but that wasn't even my seat. So, still got too strong in it. No, the person whose seat that was, oh, he got tickets off the same person, but my ticket was near where his friends were. So he asked if we could just do a swap pre-match, and what an error he made.
Yeah, really. Wow.
He was absolutely nowhere near where that happened.
Oh, wow.
Now, Morgan, I know you and I have been beefing about how fast a wombat runs, but I want to set that aside for a minute. We're going to get to that in a minute. First, truly, I want to congratulate you, because I don't know how you feel, but when I watch a World Cup, I can't watch it as an impartial journalist. I'm watching it as not as a writer, but as an American. I get patriotic. You know, when my country wins the World Cup, I feel national pride that I don't always feel. And I wonder, Morgan, how much of that was in your emotion? Just the idea of my country, Australia, you know, the national pride, patriotism, how much of that was wrapped up in the way you felt watching that win and the way you feel right now?
It's really incredible to be in a crowd of people who are all supporting the same team. There's something really special about that, when everybody in the crowd is going for the same team, and we all want the same thing. And I think Australians, we're not as patriotic as some other countries are, but we're pretty proud of who we are and how we perform on the big stage, because right. We are a very small country, people-wise.
Yeah.
We have 20 million people here. we don't even like soccer. And this has been like as a sport, we don't even like soccer, but this has been the most attended women's sporting thing in the history of the world. We don't have any people, we don't like the sport, and we're still turning up. It's amazing. The Matildas have absolutely brought together our country and shed light onto what women's sport can be if you just put some time into it. It's amazing. And I think we've hosted it well. There hasn't been any problems with anything. Everyone has raved about how great an event it has been. And so that's massive kudos to everyone involved in that. But as someone who's been to three different venues now, just the joy of people celebrating and just being in the environment that is the World Cup is really fun. It's great.
Morgan, you're calling from a cave. It's very dark where you are. I'm not
calling from a pool.
Oh, from a pool?
Yeah, because I live in Melbourne. It's cold all the time, like in winter. I'm in Queensland now, in Brisbane, and it's really warm here. So I'm in the pool.
Okay. I wondered where you were.
Oh, are you sitting in the pool?
Yeah.
Coming to us live from a pool.
A pool of the French tears is what you're sitting in.
Oh, I probably live in France.
So you were literally a pool reporter, which is a phrase in journalism.
Oh, okay. Look, I'm very good at this reporting, Greg. I don't know if you know this. I'm getting good at it.
Give us a quick analysis of the final four, which is England favored over Australia, and Spain, oddly enough, is the betting favorite over Sweden, even though Sweden is the number two ranked or the number three ranked team in the world. How do you see these two?
I don't think Sweden have been very lucky to be where they are. I don't think that they really did a lot to show that they belong in the final four. But they're there. So they're getting it done. And whether they're winning ugly or they're winning by 5 goals, they're getting it done. And it doesn't matter. So they are where they are. Spain, I see why they would be favourite over them. But I'm very interested in the Vegemite v Marmite. the real battle that is to come. I think if we beat them, we should make them get off our flag or something and leave us alone and become a republic. And then, like, crown Sam Kerr the Queen of Australia or something. I just keep waiting for us to show ourselves to not be in this echelon, and we haven't. And it's been really, really exciting to, like, feel like we belong for once, because we don't belong on the football stage. But we do now. It's, like, really good.
That's a good point. But Australia is the number 10 ranked team in the world. So from that standpoint, it's not a total Cinderella thing. I mean, it's a pretty good side.
Oh, no. It helps to have the best player in the game. Oh, so they say a rising tide lifts all boats. So, like, she's making those around her better. Mary Fowler is 20 years old, and she walked up and she took that penalty like an absolute assassin tonight. To have our goalkeeper miss a goal, walk back into the net and save two penalties in a row was a baller move, like a baller.
Yeah.
And not only did she save a goal, it was the save was disallowed. She had to take it again and saved it again. It was incredible. So, Mackenzie Arnold, congratulations, the new Minister of Defence here in Australia. we bow down to you.
All right. Let's get to the real debate, because we got to get moving on. But Wombats, Greg. You guys are arguing about Wombats. I'm going to put my own.
Did you see?
All right. Greg? Listen. Greg, what Greg is saying is reported online. But Greg, I looked for videos of Wombats running at full speed. No one has them. Okay. No one has them. I saw Wombats running. I saw one even dumbass Wombat run into a fence. But I did not. I've not seen one running at a speed that I would consider faster than I could run.
Okay. Morgan, have you been able to engage a wombat in a foot race?
Yeah, I've spoken to three, Greg. I've spoken to three this week.
Okay.
My cousin's wife, who braids my hair, Bridget, thank you very much, my green gold braids, she used to live in the country, and she's like, my parents have, like, wombat holes all around their property. You could go up there and just wait for one to come out and see if you could chase it. How long am I supposed to sit there and wait for a wombat to appear? I'm in the starting line and waiting for the gun. When a wombat appears, I go. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be worthwhile.
Okay, but I mentioned... Morgan, I mentioned what if you dropped a tiger into that pen, and you kindly mentioned with geographic accuracy that you don't have tigers in Australia, but okay, but listen.
You know what? They probably would run like Usain Bolt then. They don't have to.
All right, I want you to pretend. Use your imagination.
Greg, do you know we don't have bears?
I get that. You know, you're dingoes. The dingo is the great predator, whatever. I get it. But picture. Okay, let's say a tiger materializes in that pen, okay? Knowing animal instinct as you do, do you think, A, the killer tiger is going to be interested in eating that wombat? The answer is yes. And do you think, B, that that wombat, using all of his animal instinct, is going to stand there and wait to be eaten or start running like Usain Wombolt?
They burrow, Greg. They burrow. They're Joe Burrow. They don't run.
Okay. I'll take that as a victory.
Andrea, it's actually really cold in this pool.
All right, so let's get you out of that pool and let's just say, Morgan, tell us who sent you there.
My friends, Sheets and my mates, not my friends, they're my mates. My mates are Sheets and Giggles, premier sponsor of the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. Use promo code Morgan at checkout, capital letters, 23% off everything you need to know about. Eucalyptus can be found on my Twitter. Check it out. Just go and see my friend, the koala. It took me 4 visits to the zoo for it to be awake. but also, and a lesson for everyone. No matter how cute something is, it can still have chlamydia. So,
excellent.
Very true.
Thank you, Morgan. Appreciate it.
Morgan, we'll check in with you next week.
You will check in with me next week. I might have won a World Cup.
That would be awesome.
All right. Go Matildas.
You never know.
That's right. Well said. You never know.
Cheers, Morgan.
Bye.
That was Morgan.
Coming to us live from a pool. That was unexpected. A very poorly lit pool brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. Not the poorly lit pool, the appearance.
I think we got that, Greg.
And now we go from Morgan to Messi. Same sport. Listen. First of all, I am genuinely thrilled for Morgan from Australia to have Australia in its first ever women's Final Four in the World Cup. That is so cool that that her team has gone farther than most people expected and is now two wins away from winning the World Cup. And in Miami down here, since Lionel Messi has joined Inter Miami, they are 5-0. And he has scored 8 goals. That's ridiculous. I don't care if it's a lower level of competition. 8 goals in 5 games is just surreal. And now Inter Miami is in the semifinals. They play Tuesday night at Philadelphia in the semifinals of the League's Cup, which is tantamount to the North American Championship, really. It's teams from Major League Soccer and from Mexico's Premier League, Liga MX. So that's a pretty big regional tournament, and Messi is heroically leading Inter Miami right through it with 5 wins in a row. So that's a huge story down here. Another huge story down here, congrats to Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat, who entered the Basketball Hall of Fame Saturday. Richly deserved. First ballot sailed into Springfield, Mass. In the Hall of Fame, and I wrote this in a column. It's not a revelation because we've known it for a while. Dwayne Wade's the best athlete, the most accomplished, decorated athlete who's ever played in South Florida. Dan Marino held that title for a long, long time. It's Dwayne Wade's now. And so congrats to him. And now, either live or pre-recorded from Nashville, it's special correspondent Chris Cody.
You hear that thunder? That's Nashville. No, it's been a great time this weekend. A little rain here and there. But I'm at the hotel right now, Sunday afternoon. A wild weekend of celebrating love and celebrating good music. We were all around Nashville on Broadway all weekend. My dad wanted me to be in a bar, a festive, you know, Nashville on Broadway bar, and, you know, give some good content But I didn't do that because I was living my life. I was living in the moment. So now what you get is a video on Sunday afternoon, me just saying, hey, I was in Nashville this weekend. And I love my dad trying to make it seem like I haven't pulled my weight this interview when I conducted the entire Field Yates interview by myself because my dad couldn't make it. So you're welcome for that, Greg Cody. I hope you guys held it down without me. I still don't know why I'm doing this report, really, because my dad just likes to have reports. I mean, he makes it seem like he sent me here for the Greg Cody show. Isn't that a bit he wanted to get off the ground? Oh, yay. We send anytime Chris is traveling somewhere, it's on behalf of the Greg Cody show. Like, yeah, it's a real clever bit there, Greg Cody. No one knows what we're doing there. Anyway, I don't know what else I'm supposed to do here. Nashville is awesome, though. Like, Yeti obviously would love Nashville. Like, just every bar you go into, great music. Saw a great funk band on Saturday night at a little hole-in-the-wall bar, not on Broadway. You know, Broadway's kind of where the amateurs go, you know, all the tourists. The real gold mines are just off Broadway and miles away from Broadway. The just good stuff all around. But that's it. Chris Cody reporting from Nashville. Thank you, Greg Cody, for making me do work always and never having a weekend off.
Thank you, son, for doing as little to contribute to this podcast as possible.
He'll probably say he still did more than you.
It's possible that he's right. And now we want to get to dad jokes and then three facts, Jack. What do you think of that?
Go for it, Greg.
All right, here we go. Dad jokes. Number three, what kind of watch does Bigfoot wear?
I can't even think.
A Sasquatch.
Oh, damn, that's pretty good. You'd think, you know, my cousin, Yeti's cousin, would, you know, would have tipped me off on that, but he didn't.
That's true. Your cousin is Bigfoot.
He will be sitting outside during the next family gathering. That's a dumb joke, too.
Yes, you're right. Number two, why did the shepherd's job suddenly get easier?
Okay, hold on.
I love how Yeti actually tries to figure these things out.
I want to, because I want to get them all right and then retire the segment.
Why did the shepherd's job suddenly get easier?
Because he hired a flocking machine. I don't know.
He got a staff.
Ah!
Number one, why was the nurse afraid to go camping?
I don't know, Greg.
She was told the area was full of poison IV.
That one's dumb as hell.
No, it's not. It's smart as hell.
That one's dumb. Sasquatch was great. That one, or Sasquatch was really clever. That one is...
Poison IV.
Yeah, somebody was really trying. I really need to write a dad joke, and they threw that one, and then you found it. God.
And it's time now for what?
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for three facts, Jack.
Number three. The small patch of skin located between your superciliary arches.
Hell yeah.
Also known as eyebrows.
Oh.
Is called the glabella, which is Latin for smooth, hairless, or bald. Number two, chickens outnumber humans by more than a 4-to-1 ratio. The global human population is about 8 billion. The Food and Agriculture Organization says as of 2023, there are almost 34.4 billion chickens alive on Earth on any given day.
So we should be really worry less about aliens and more about a chicken takeover?
For sure. I mean, 4-to-1. That's a McGill question. How many chickens would it take to defeat an average-sized human?
Right. He'd probably wonder if roosters are included in that.
Yeah, he would get all technical and start asking a bunch of questions.
Well, first they'd go for your jugular with their talons and
talons.
But they'd have to get up high enough because they're kind of dumb. No, he'd never say they were dumb.
Razor sharp talons. Number one, Miss Piggy, the famed Muppet character linked romantically to Kermit the Frog, has a full name.
Oh,
Muppets.
Okay.
Muppets creator Jim Henson derived the nickname Miss Piggy from her proper name, Pigathius Lee. Pigathius being Greek for River of Passion.
That's fitting.
It is. Pigathius Lee.
I like that one. That's cool. That's a really good one.
I try. I don't try that hard, but I do try.
Greg, I think that's about an episode.
Is it really? I feel like this was an action-packed episode to the degree a podcast can be action-packed. Field Yates was great. Morgan from Australia was great. Congrats to Dwayne Wade. That kind of thing and so forth and so on. I mean, we appreciate all you listeners. Come back every week. Bring your ears with you. And we love you like a pet, believe me.
That kind of thing and so forth and so on. My gosh, Greg.
Thank you. Et cetera and so forth is another way to put it.
So forth.
Yeah.
Greg, you know what happens today, Monday the 14th, right?
No, I don't.
It's 15% off of everything at shop.thegregcodyshow.com.
Wow.
You can get your nice hats. You can get your Morning Man shirts, your Greg Cody Show logo. You can get the Greg Cody face. You can get Nelly's Diner.
Wow.
So many things. Go get 15% off all week long, Monday through Friday, the 14th through the 18th at shop.thegregcodyshow.com.
Yes, do that, please. And tell your friends and buy them gifts. Give them gifts. Make it a birthday gift.
And so forth and so on and that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Et cetera and so forth. Thanks, everybody. Love you.